You can't have prosperity with stolen land. Period.
Which side are you on, boy? Which side are you on, the matador? Which side are you on, boy? Which side are you on, the matador?
See, I gotta draw a line, I can't take it no more. If you ain't down with revolution, what you waiting for? Making money for suckers and not communities poor. Ripping flags off of coffers, man, this ain't our war. Colonized and terrorized by the world's biggest killers. The US government, the biggest weapon and drug dealers. Filling prisons with children, incarcerating the future. MySpace and Facebook got us stuck on computers. Stuck on stupid bumping music that's abusive to the shorties. And the nonsense that you're spitting, they just listening, absorbing. I've been dormant, I've been woken. I'm a giant, I'm ready. I'm with the Apple and Oaxaca, and we hold the machetes.
I rock hard like Palestinian children holding slingshots. I'm with every single kid that's down for hip hop. For the culture, the life, what it really stands for. This music is resistance, it's the voice of the poor. I'm on the side of the workers, the teachers, the lunch ladies. On the streets with brown mommies, raising our brown babies. I'm with youth organizers, cleaning up the Bronx River. I'm like Jaime Escalante when I stand and deliver. I'm with Evo Morales, man, he running Bolivia. Distribution of the land so we can all live bigger. I'm with Hugo and Fidel, Grandmaster and Melly Mel. I'm with the Panthers up in Queens, justice for Sean Bell. I'm with Camacho Negron, I'm with Ojeda Rios. Freedom for Oscar López, time to get an appeal. I'm with a Blue Jamal, I'm with a Sada Shakur. I'm with the compas in the mall, can't he getting a penny more?
Hey everyone, welcome to the Houston Indie Media Show. Tonight's show will be about the Santa Fe shooting and white male violence. Last Friday, May 18th, at Santa Fe High School, southeast of Houston, a white male student opened fire in the school, killing 2 teachers and 8 students. This is a panel discussion from Wednesday's Greenwatch Houston TV show. You'll hear the following voices: Ashton Woods from Black Lives Matter Houston, Rebecca Castro, local cat lady, Kelly McCary from Socialist Alternative, and Hannah Mosser, host of Greenwatch.
Yeah. I think for me, I think that, yeah, it's the excuse of denying, like, just white male violence in general. We're going to chalk it up to things like mental illness and bullying, when we know that there are a lot of violent crimes that are committed by white men that are just, you know, can't be excused as just bullying. There are times when they're the bullies themselves. So how do you explain that then? Yeah.
Yeah. The vast majority of shooters and mass shooting incidents are white males. Very few are women or people of color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think about 63%, that's the numbers I'm seeing from 1900 to now in what's considered mass shooting, 63% are white men. And I think a lot of, like, the legislation people are trying to pass and, like, a lot of the discussion is about, like, stopping this from, like, you know, the gun aspect of it. But not enough people are talking about, like, what's the root cause, which, like, you touched on, like, white boys can get away with anything. And then one of the main red flags is, like, violence towards women. I mean, this boy, he stalked a girl for 4 months, and the media is trying to paint it as, you know, she humiliated him. But, you know, he was, like, stalking her.
Yeah. A tale of unrequited love.
Humiliated versus entitlement.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah. Like, who are you to be entitled to my personhood? As a male or female, my personal autonomy, you don't take that away from me. I don't have the right to take that away from you. So when I tell you no, or when she tells you no, when they tell you no, that is their prerogative. You don't have a right to make them acquiesce and do what you want them to do. But that again, that's steeped in mediocrity.
I wanted to go back to what you said about if there is, you know, guns in school, because there's been a lot of talk about, you know, arming teachers or arming, you know, having more resource officers, more guns in the schools, and how, you know, a good guy with gun can get a bad guy with gun, that whole mythology or frame of reference. And you were saying that if we do allow these guns in the school, that there might be a, discrepancy or a disproportionate use of force against children who are of color or minority status or disabled, perhaps.
If I was in school today and I was me when I was in high school, I would be dead right now.
Really?
I would be dead right now because with the way things are going, with just the fact that I can state that I know my rights, puts a death sentence on me. So when we talk about disabilities and all these other things, we see how police treat people with actual disabilities, whether they be physical or mental, or illnesses for that matter. And usually, they get shot and killed,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Or they get thrown into jail and thrust into homelessness and then back into jail, being criminalized left and right for their skin color and for being homeless. And no one, with the exception of grassroots activists and people who give a damn, are going to do something to treat them and help them and try to remedy something, right? Again, that all goes back to personal autonomy. But when we're talking about schools, we're talking about the school-to-prison pipeline, we're talking about the strenuous amount of discipline that they place on black and brown children, especially black girls, right? And then when you think about when by the time we get to high school, they tell children automatically in HISD schools, from a good source, hey, you shouldn't apply to universities like Rice or to the University of Houston. You should go to community college because we don't think that you are adequate enough for that. Or because that's out of your range. So there are several barriers in place. Aside from now having to worry about more so often a bullet being thrust at you while you're learning math or whatever, there's a lot of things that we have to talk about intersectionally speaking. More than just the physical gun, but the actual gun that's always been to our heads is black and brown people, right? And you look, it took for kids to put up a fuss, even with the children of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, who were also victims that were black and brown, had to speak up a little louder to be seen. Because whiteness, in and of itself, is always seen as more pure, it is centered, and oh, look, it's our little white baby, they've been shot.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to sound insensitive, but we've been getting shot.
I mean, you have the outrageous standing up Stoneman Douglas, and that's, you know, justified, but shootings like this have happened in other communities that have not gotten similar coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a discrepancy there. And I like what you said about how this is not the, you know, kind of the first gun held to certain groups' heads, because there's always been that, you know, oppressive system functioning within
right.
education or just really just society as large, on a larger spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as a socialist, I would say a lot of it, majority of it has to do with capitalism. Basically, the root of all oppressions, be it gender oppression, like why these little boys and men think that they have any right over women, why there's like racial oppression, you know, capitalism needs these certain oppressions. And we're seeing that in schools, like how you mentioned the prison to school pipeline. That's what arming teachers, you're basically just having prison guards. And like what's happening in HISD right now, they're trying to sell off these schools, which if you look into it, charter schools are like just a step removed from prisons. Like these kids are put in a line, walk straight, they can't act up. I was looking into New Orleans after they charterized nearly the entire district after Katrina. And there was multiple schools with students who were missing up to 60, 70% of school because they were always in ISS. Like these schools are turning into prisons. Having armed teachers, those are prison guards. Like, we're not even attempting to prepare kids for the future. We're just, we need prisoners, we need workers,
we're preparing them for a prison future.
Yeah. We need, you know, we need the boot on children already so that they know how to act when they get out of school so that they can make money for somebody else who's oppressing them.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that's overlooked when we're talking about arming teachers, at least I know, because I went to, like, a Latino school, right? In black and brown schools in general, sometimes you have teachers and they don't like us.
Yes.
Okay, they call us criminals, they call us gang members, they don't like us. Like, I was in a classroom with a teacher who threw a desk at a Latino man. Well, we were kids then, so like, this is sixth grade. Do you think I would feel safe from violence if that guy was given a gun?
Mm-hmm.
No way. I mean, just the way they treat us as animals in the first place.
Yeah.
Like, no way would I
want to
give somebody that kind of power.
Think about what you said, though, sis.
Yeah.
You said the teacher threw a desk at a man
mm-hmm.
in my class. Well, no, we were children, right?
Mm-hmm.
Way back. We are always seen as adults
mm-hmm.
when we're children. That's why Tamir Rice is 6 feet under right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Trayvon Martin is gone. That's why so many people care for it. That's why so many people are gone right now because of that.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're already seen as the aggressor, because that's what we've been taught.
Absolutely,
right?
And when they pushed to try people as adults, it was always black and white
oh, yeah.
people that were being tried as adults.
Right.
Which is kind of interesting in the Santa Fe case, where they're not going to try them as adults, at least as
yeah,
right now.
But
I heard they were going to try him the same man.
That's
can
when
be,
I usually go to
Federal law says you can be tried, I think, federal or state law says you can be tried as an adult at 17.
Mm-hmm.
They do it a lot with black kids, but in this case, that also applies to capital punishment.
Mm-hmm.
But a federal case says that, a Supreme Court case from like 2015 says that you can't give someone who is 17 years old death. But I have it on high authority that, and somebody can fact check me if they want to, but I'm pretty sure that there are some children who have been 17 and black or brown that have gotten a death penalty in spite of that rule.
14.
Right?
I think they did that in California. Yeah, that was years ago.
Yeah, JK.
At least the case I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Again, you see the disproportionate punishment against black and brown children in school with ISS and in the violence you described, but also out of high school in the criminal justice system where they're tried as adults when other kids of a different melanin content would be tried as
why would you need to suspend a kindergartner, right? Think about it.
Just tell them Santa's not coming this year.
And think about the and think about the ADHD children. The children who
are disabilities,
right? Who fall under ADA for compliance wise, right? You think about that, and then you think about the fact that they're also taking our kids while Connor is backed up buying an AR-15 with his dad's credit card, throwing our kids up into special needs classes who don't need that type of attention instead of just assessing and meeting that child where they are, right? So that we're not falling into the social caste system that's being built where information truly is currency, and if you don't know, you are screwed. And that's what is happening right now.
Yeah. So a comment made by the father of the shooter was that he was bullied during his youth. How do you think that played in? Or does it have any effect, or is it just an excuse?
I kind of
wonder
if it's a good idea to get
back. I'll be the first to say it. I mean, just based on, I don't want to say based on what we know, because, obviously we don't know this kid's life story, but the red flags of, he shot up the school, he was murdering children, he was stalking girls, his peers. If he was bullied, then, that's still not an excuse. And if he wasn't bullied, we have multiple reasons as to why, he would do this. He has a ton of red flags. I don't think he was. Well, not that I know, but even if he was, that's not an excuse at all.
I think that's just that, entitlement, ownership perspective that white people have and white men in general, right? Somebody's going to bully me, and in our culture, it's the good old boy who's going to set things right and fix the problem, And so that's him just saying, if you're going to pick on me, I'm going to show you, and I'm going to fix this problem, and you all have to do what I say. That's just kind of the general culture, I think. Especially, in the South, right? There's that good old boy Southern attitude that I run the show, and I am morally correct. And I think white people are taught that constantly, and white men, as in terms of Christianity, just are guided as being that ultimate leader that they think they are, that they really take that to heart to the point that they will kill people and they will take your stuff and they will do whatever they want. And everybody else is like, he's the white guy, he's the leader, that's fine. No, it's not fine, It's not.
Right? It's not at all. Think about this for a second. Some guys, like Donald Trump, who talk to hit themselves talk, it's just like an uncontrollable, continual amount of BS and feces that just gets spewed on a daily basis by this man. So he had the... So listen. White boy had a template. He had an example to be led by. And it wasn't just because of Donald Trump. Really think about this. It was about the Trumps in our backyard, the ones who were raising them. Everybody knows, or will still find out, that Santa Fe, that area, has a history of racism, much like Vider. We can beat around the bush all we want, but the truth of the matter is this. White people are starting to reckon with the things that they've done to other people. Regardless if you weren't alive when it happened, you are now. You're reaping the benefits from it, right? We talked about capitalism. That would be no capitalism without slavery, right? So we can be cliche, but let's say it's a bunch of white people shooting white people. Let's call it white on white crime.
I like that.
And white and white crime is on the rise. Yeah, it is. It's on the rise at this point.
You know, also other people who got injured, you know, didn't have the privilege of having the right melanin content.
And I think in terms of the white woman thing, you really have to think about how culture is transmitted, right? Within a family, and generally that is transmitted by women to their children, right? So if we really wanted to, like, end toxic masculinity and change white supremacist system, women have a very strong role to play in that, substantially. Yeah.
So one of the students who was killed was Sabika Sheikh, and she was from Pakistan, who had come here to learn to be kind of be an ambassador. And how do you think her family reacted to this? Coming, you know, Pakistan, it's known for its violence there, but you know, the United States isn't. But here she was, you know, killed by a domestic terrorist.
Well, I guess I'll address that. I feel like the facade of America, I mean, it's cracking, it's breaking. We have the UN investigating poverty in America. We have, like, on a global stage, we are not the country that, you know, we used to be however many years ago after the war, World War II. I think, I mean, other countries are starting to see, like, our capitalism, it's so bad, our government's awful. Like, workers don't have any rights, we have a ton of poverty, no healthcare. I mean, this violence, I mean, it's a product of that. And around the world, they're starting to see that our country is...
Yeah, 40 minutes.
It's not great.
You can't have prosperity with stolen land. Period.
So I wanted to kind of switch now to gun control and wanted to know your views on it. Are you for more strict gun control? Will it be used against minority groups? Or can we find a kind of beneficial balance somewhere?
Me, personally, I'm pro-gun. And I know, you know, we all here are probably on that same page, even though most people think if you're on the left, you are anti-gun, right, or that you're a pacifist. I'm neither. And I really think, like, you can make all the laws you want, but none of that is preventative. That all is taking care of something after the fact, right? So if you really wanted to solve the issue, you would want to put steps in place to try to resolve the actual cultural issues. And I don't think legislation does that. I think that's something that we need to come together as people to discuss and solve. I mean, we can put it into the education system, probably one of the best places to do it, have town hall community things, but I think that's also just part of the problem is you're going to perpetuate violence if you constantly try to solve it with violence. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's that punishment factor. To me, that is like the problem with toxic masculinity in general is this happens, I react immediately and violently, right? Even if it means stripping somebody else of their humanity and their rights as an individual, right? There has to be consequences and punishment. And so, like, we talk about, like, the feminine idea as being more nurturing. And so I think that is where we need to solve that issue in that way, saying that we should really start nurturing our people. We should really start nurturing better relationships on how we feel about others. You know what I mean? How we respond to those kinds of situations.
To respond with, you know, talking something out instead of reacting violently.
Right. Consequences are fine, right? But punishment is like, you're just perpetuating that system. You're just going to continue to agitate and build a stronger, like, pressure cooker, right? You keep putting heat and pressure on people, they're going to just start exploding. I mean, we're there now. So you keep starting to restrict people's rights, it's just going to keep going. It's just going to be a more intense response, I think, not a less problematic one.
Yeah, I would agree with that about gun control laws. It's like an after-the-fact kind of thing, and I do believe that they would be enforced against people of color, against the working class, as gun control always has. The same with nearly any law. Our police force is fundamentally racist. No gun control law would stop these white men from getting these guns. That's just a fact. But like you said, you can't, you know, more violence, it's going to make more violence. And I think poverty is violence. The fact that people, there's homeless people because they can't afford any sort of rent, they don't have any kind of housing, that's violence. The way that, you know, women are seen as objects to men, and that's violence. I feel like measures to affect that, like to address that would address a lot of these other things. like raising the minimum wage and, you know, free housing, rent control, that kind of thing. I think that would address far more than any kind of, you know, bullet minimum, maximum, or like no ARs or whatever kind of legislation we're thinking
about. I think that gun control is an interesting thing, considering that in, I think, more recent history, when it became an issue of gun control was when they saw black people arming themselves and honoring the Second Amendment
California.
Via the Black Panther movement.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? So, and I mean, the irony is what Reagan was the governor of California at that time. So, if you think about this on different levels, right? I think that every last person of color should have access to a weapon. I think that we should start going to the gun shows and start buying guns. They should start following our thing. So when the 8 Klan chapters here in Harris County decide to come for us, we'll be ready for them. So neither here nor there, I think that it's important that if we give people weapons, there should be some mental checks, for example. Or if you are a known abuser of women or a known abuser of people, period, you should not have access to a weapon.
Right.
You know, those types of nuances, right? But, and also really take a look at revising the Second Amendment, because, again, it was born out of racism. It was born out of the fact that white men wanted to have the right to shoot black folk if they felt or deemed that they, their form of property were a threat.
And they still
also
think
known
they
as
do.
Standing your ground laws.
They still think they do. Yeah, they still think they do.
Can I touch on how you said that, like, men who have history of domestic violence, they shouldn't be allowed to have guns? I mean, you have to think about who's going to be enforcing this. Who's going to be stopping men?
Mm-hmm.
So if we stop the men who have had domestic violence issues, 35% of our police force wouldn't have guns. And that's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's, they're not
going to. If it was up to me, I would have bought one at least.
She's like,
but I mean, that's another story for another day now. Yeah. We can go there. I'd love to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and not enough people talk about, you know, police and military. Like, if you see violence in your life, big chance it's not going to be in a school shooting. Those happen, I don't even want to say rarely, because people think it happens often, but compared to police shootings, compared to what we do overseas to people, gun violence in schools is very, very small. So if you want to address violence, you can start with the police, you can start with the military, you can start with our, you know, the violent laws that need to be held in place with violent forces.
You can start with the corporations first, though. You think about Amazon's recognition software. You haven't heard about that?
No,
I heard that it was not recognizing people of color. So that was
no.
good. I'll
no.
fix that.
No, Amazon recognition is being used by law enforcement agencies in conjunction with like the Stingray software, so to speak.
Okay.
So what it does is it's now it can read what you're eating. It can read your facial expressions. It can accurately determine that police have actually caught people with it.
Really?
And now they're trying to sell a drone that can fly up and down the street and just locate you real time and tell you what you're doing, how you did it, why you're doing it. So let's start there, right? We're talking about corporations who are now weaponizing our demographic data from everything that we click on and using it against us, right? So this very conversation alone being broadcast right now has probably triggered the fact that 10 more pages is going to be added to my file at HPD. Because I said we should arm every black and brown person who could handle me and train them.
I mean, they automatically assume black and brown people are running around armed anyway, so I don't think...
Whether or not they just have skills.
You know what I mean? And like, supposedly if we were, and like, when you think about, like talking about the mental health issue, right? So the people who supposedly are have a disease that involves entitlement are people who have cluster B, right? Cluster B, so we talk about people who have like borderline personality disorder is predominantly diagnosed in women. Well, we're not shooting everybody up. And actually people who are predominantly diagnosed with NPD and ASPD are black men. Antisocial personality disorder and narcissistic personality disorder are black men. They're not out shooting up the neighborhood like in big giant volumes. So, and these kinds of crimes with mass shooting, or like we're talking about with assaults, sexual assault, physical domestic abuse, these are crimes of power. These are not like crimes of passion. So if we were running around with a whole bunch of guns and, you know, entitlement disease, like, we would be the ones doing all of this, and it's statistically not true.
Right.
It's totally not true. Like, what was it you said, 54%
yeah,
is men?
Yeah, of women that are murdered, 55% of them have been by a partner or an ex-partner. The statistic for men murdered by partner, ex-partner, about 5-7%.
Wow.
Yeah. Fifty percent of women, 55% women, versus about five to seven percent of men. And the same thing with rapes.
It's like it is. That's where the 54% is in my mind. Is it is done by heterosexual cisgendered white men against men and women. Like regardless of gender, they're out there raping people
because it's a power.
Yeah, they're out there just raping people.
I will submit to you that you know that's probably exponentially more than the 5-7% of men who
would rape,
and probably I would say, and I would say that women would the instances among women would also increase as well because we don't go and talk about that. When that happened to me when I was 16, I'm not the guy I am now. I probably could handle two men by myself. But back then, you're homeless, you're hungry, you need somewhere to sleep, and then somebody takes advantage of you, and you know. You don't know what to do after that, right? And so it's this thing of this mental piece to it that messes with you because when you go talk to people who you think you would trust, oh no, that you know, you're a guy.
Why didn't
that's the first thing.
You know?
You're a guy. You're supposed to blah, 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 blah. Well, listen, things happen a certain way, right? So I think when we're talking about rape culture in and of itself, you know, like the Me Too movement, Never Again, those types of things. We got to look at it as interweaved and interconnected and think about it as an all of the above type of thing. I say it a lot. It's an all of the above type of thing. And elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. The shooter did get the gun that he used, or at least one of them, from his father, from a parent. And you had the, I believe, the shooting before that again, where the shooter got a gun from a parent when they kind of didn't take away from him. And again, there's, I think it was Shania, where he got a gun from his mother. I mean, she was killed, obviously. But do you think there's any liability against the parents to allow their children to possess firearms?
Yes. Yes, I think the victims of this young man's parents should be sued. They should have had those weapons locked away. They should have been paying more attention to their child.
That's it for tonight's show. Here is a teaser for part two of the interview, which you can hear next week right here on KPFT, 7 p.m. Friday night. Or you can go online to radio4all.net. That's radio, the number 4, ALL.net, and listen right now. Thanks for joining us. This is V signing off and reminding everyone out there, don't hate the media, be the media. Peace.
Kind of in a similar vein, there's been talk about hardening schools, making them hardened targets. A lot of talk about like eliminating the amount of exits, which I just think is a great way to get trapped inside with fire. Do you think that's a good, just another kind of...
Dan Patrick is an idiot. He's a S for brains idiot. Period. Guy, ever read about the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory? Is he like Tammany Hall 2.0? I don't know. Like, there's a reason why there are exits because of fires. Exits that actually lead to the outside, not like exits to nowhere. I mean, like that, right? So that people can survive and not die of smoke inhalation or be burned alive. That type of thing.
Yeah.
Hope you're watching, Mr. Patrick. Read a book.
Read the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory.
He needs a brain.
It changed the country, right? Did it not?
It did.
There are regulations and rules. There's an OSHA for a reason. I mean, you can take all the exits out that you want, but theoretically, if a shooter went in and was really determined to do something and got past security and it was one way in and one way out, you're going to have hundreds of people going out of one entrance who could possibly get murdered via those bullets. Or trampling each other.
Yes. In many of the mass